But today we're going to conclude the series on living in Christ. Hope many of you have enjoyed the little booklet that we passed out, and I have a few left if somebody didn't get one, they want to go through it. But it kind of takes you from zero and then takes you along the process of learning a little bit more about the Christian faith. And I hope that was a real benefit to you, because I do know for myself that when I first started out as a Christian, I didn't really have a lot of information at my disposal where I could really learn maybe a systematic way of knowing Jesus in a better way. So I just grabbed a hold of every piece of literature I could find. And some of it was good and some of it was a little confusing. So this book that we have, it's, like I say, it came out from Billy Graham Association, and Billy's legit, amen. Great ministry over the years, touching people's lives, so we just wanted to sow that. Now, a little bit about our testimony of faith. You know, Jesus first called us out of darkness, right? You and I walked in darkness, even though we maybe never really understood the whole thing, but we lived in darkness because of the sin of Adam. We were born separated from God. Now, after we come to Christ, we were placed into His marvelous light. And that's the life of God that He's given us, and that's exciting, that part of life. But then, ironically, He sends us back out into the darkness. Not because He doesn't love us, but because He wants us to love other people. And really, that's what the part of being a Christian is all about. Is the fact that we don't want to keep this to ourselves. A lot of people, when they find something good, they want to keep it all to themselves, right? But see, that's the difference about the gospel. We just don't want to keep it to ourselves, us four and no more, right? We want to be able to spread the good news, and that's what this is talking about today. You know, I have a simple saying, when God said, go ye, He meant go me. Amen? Old King James, go ye, go me. Simple as that. He wants us all. Now, not everybody is going to be called as an evangelist. Ephesians 4, evangelist, where they're sitting in an office of the evangelist. But yet, we are all called to be a witness. And that's really the life that He wants for us as believers, to be able to reach out. Now, being a witness, is this really technically talking about and sharing what we know? Now, if I was going to tell you about my wife, I wouldn't tell you everything, because she told me I can't disclose everything, right? No, but if I know her. We live together. I could tell you a lot of things about her that you don't know. And it's the same with Jesus Christ. Because I live with Him, He lives with me. I can tell you things about Him. Because of my experiences with Him. And that's really what being a witness is all about. Just telling people what you know. You don't have to know the whole Bible to be a witness. You just have to know Jesus. And that's as simple as that. And it's talking about sharing, because we are a child of God. I could tell you things about my dad. My wife shared some things about her dad today. Why? Because she knows Him. Just like I know my Heavenly Father and you know your Heavenly Father. So you can tell people about Him. We make it too hard. We put bridges and barriers up. When really it's just sharing about what we know and who we know. The passage I want to look at today is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it's a very familiar scripture. We've went over it before as we look at the subject today of witnessing it for Christ. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You today for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here, for the anointing that's able to break every yoke of bondage, every stronghold upon our lives that hold us back in thinking that we cannot do it or we're not good enough. Lord, we thank You just for revelation knowledge to be imparted to each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank You for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation as I yield to the gift You put inside of me. I use it for Your glory, Lord. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, there's an old saying in some of the Pentecostal churches as well as the old-time churches. Can I get a witness? Now, some of you know what that's meaning, right? A few of you maybe. Can I get a witness? You know, a preacher will be going along or somebody will be going along and all of a sudden they say, can I get a witness? And some will say, amen. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. You know, they were very expressive. You know, because when you're saying, can I get a witness, that means, can I get somebody here to back up my story? Can I get somebody to say what I'm saying is really true? So that's what Jesus is calling us today. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get somebody? Amen, Sister Scarlett. Let her go now. Come on. She's back there dancing in the aisle. You guys didn't see that. That's why she sits in the back. And she has rhythm where I don't. But the idea of being able to tell people about just what we know. Now, Jesus is looking for someone, and that someone is you and I, to be able to back up the greatest story that's ever told. Now, I ran into a situation years ago, and my wife will remember this, is that we were called to go to a house here in town. I don't remember exactly. We had done missionary work, and I can't remember if we just moved home from Greece or we were still living in Denver, and somebody knew what we were up to, and they asked us to come to this home Bible study. And they wanted us to talk about what we had been doing. So we went there, and we started to share about what God had been doing in our life, about how God had called us, and we go out and we do evangelism and we would go to other countries and we'd tell people about Jesus and things like this and how important it is for us to be a witness for Christ and to tell people because, you know, without accepting Jesus Christ, they're separated from God. Now, all the while we were talking, I was watching this woman. Her face was getting really angry. Her smile was a frown. And she looked very, very just mean. All of a sudden, when we were done, I said, amen. She says, well, I just witnessed with my life. I've never in my life told anybody about Jesus Christ. And she was proud of it. And I just looked in amazement. I was shocked. Till I found out her doctrinal persuasion. She was into hyper-Calvinism or Calvinism. And she believes that God is the one who, the only way you get saved is because God says you can get saved. You can't get saved unless God says you can. And so she didn't believe you ever had to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. She just believes that she lived her life, people were supposed to just let it dawn on them that, wow, she must be a Christian. Maybe I want to be that. So her and I weren't best friends, if you know what I'm saying. You know, I mean, her and I kind of collided. I have a tendency to do that every now and then with some people when it comes to the idea of telling people that they don't have to share their faith or their testimony. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10, they said, how will they hear without a preacher? It didn't say with an actor or somebody just putting on a show. A preacher, somebody that tells the good news. And that's what God's called you and I to do. Now, the word witness in Acts 1:8 here is the Greek word martys. We've talked about that before. And the Greek word martys is where we get the word martyr, you know, where Jesus has called us to lay our lives down for him, but that's another story in itself. But really what this is talking about also, it says, one who has knowledge or information of something, one who can bring to light or to confirm something. That's all we have to do. See, God is the one who really saves us. We can't convince people. All we have to do is testify. All we have to do is share. We just tell what we know, and then the Holy Spirit works with us. Because remember, the Holy Spirit comes upon us to witness? And the Holy Spirit works with us. And then as that happens, He touches their heart, and they open their heart up to accept Jesus Christ. See, that's the key. And see, we're not in this alone. That's where a lot of people think, well, I just have to convince them. And how many's tried to convince their family members, and it just ain't working? You know what I mean? It just doesn't work. We can never convince anybody. It has to be the conviction of the Holy Spirit that comes on them. Can I get a witness? Amen. So the next question is, why do I need to witness? I'm glad you asked that. Because as we talked about earlier, we are born separated from God. You may be really nice, and I know some of you are, but you're a sinner unless you've asked Jesus Christ in your life. You can't help it. You were born that way. We're born that way. We're born separated from God due to the sin of Adam. When they chose to rebel against God and they partook of the tree that they said to stay away from, all the other trees in the world, except one. One tree. And they couldn't stay away from it. And they ate. Sin came into their life. And their eyes were opened. And they found out they were naked, meaning they were separated from God. They tried to cover up the best they could, but it still couldn't cover it. There's nothing to take away our shame but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I had a lot of shame in my life. A lot of things I'm not proud of. But when I met Jesus Christ, He took that shame away and He made me a new person. And see, that's the power of the gospel. You can't tell me that Jesus can't change lives. When somebody tells me how big a sinner somebody is, I just laugh at them. That ain't nothing. Nothing that God can't handle. And see, that's how we need to look at this life. We serve a big God. And as we go through this life, and the idea of that we're separated from God, and that's because of that disease that we all have is sin. Now, I believe disease is bad. Some people fight a lot of diseases in their life. Some people have heart disease. Some people have, lung disease and all these different things. But the main root disease in this world is sin and how we're born separated from it in our life, because that sin is what separates us from God. It makes a difference because God is perfect, and that sin, makes us so that we're a fallen nature. And we can never get good enough on our own. I'll tell you what, I made it 60 days. I felt pretty proud. Because I just thought if I could just quit this one sin, God would love me. So I quit it for 60 days. That's as far as I could go, man. I was miserable because I really liked that sin. Matter of fact, I've been doing that sin ever since I was 17, and I was about 24 now. And I made this effort. And then after 60 days, I said, man, I'd rather go to hell than live like this. I mean, it sounds stupid, maybe not that bad, but I mean, I couldn't do it. But then, not long after that, God brought somebody to my door that told me about Jesus Christ and how it really works. That I don't have to quit. Jesus comes in, then as He comes into my life, He starts to give me a hunger for something else instead of that hunger for sin. And that was really easy. I mean, it's so simple. But yet I had it all mixed up. Because people told me, have you ever got any bad directions in life? We all have, right? That's why I usually check with two or three people to get a consensus. Especially when I go to Menards. A lot of them, nothing against those kids down there, but I've been doing stuff longer than they have. I always ask three people. And if two of them tell me the same thing, that's what I go with. Now, if all three tell me something different, I don't know what I'm going to do. But so far, that hasn't really happened. See, we can never get good enough on our own. And once I found that out, and that's really why I needed Jesus Christ in my life, and when He came into my life was changed. Can I get a witness? Amen? We've all experienced that. Now, some of you watch some TV shows, and there's several of them out there. Now, some of them deal with, there's always some big bad epidemic that wipes out mankind. Have you ever seen some of those? Some virus or some disease. And usually what happens in these things, to make it interesting, somebody has the antidote. But a lot of times they don't want to share. What do you think about people that don't want to share? If they have a way of curing a disease, I mean, what would you feel like? If you knew somebody that could cure cancer and they kept it all to themselves. Maybe you've lost a loved one, or maybe you know a friend or somebody that died of cancer, and then you find out that somebody right down the street had the cure. They kept it to themselves. There's words for people like that that we can't use in church, right? But see, I want us to see that we have the cure. The cure lives inside us for mankind. The cure for sin. The fact that Jesus Christ has come into our life and He's called us out of that darkness into the marvelous light, then to go back out into the darkness to tell people, you don't have to be like this. God can change your life. He changed my life. It's the best decision I ever made. There's two great decisions I made. Get saved and get married. Two best lives there is. It's a great life. And I would never turn my back on my Lord. Or on my wife. And she's sitting right here. Usually she's in the other room. I can get away with stuff. But the best life there is. Why wouldn't we share that? Why wouldn't we tell people? Now, what irritated me a little bit was that after I had gotten saved and moved back here, and I might have shared this before, but when I was in high school, unbeknown to me, there was a move of the Holy Spirit here in Albion. And that some people were getting saved and getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, lives were getting changed. But see, I was traveling in a different pack. You know what I'm saying? But even though I was a serious sinner, I still prayed to Jesus every night. I always have had a tender heart towards God. But nobody told me. If somebody would have told me, you know, who knows what would have happened with my life? It might have been even a little better yet. Because the sooner you get saved, the better off it is, the way I look at it. Might have saved me some grief, heartache, and woe that I wouldn't have had to go through. So when I come back and this person was telling me how they got saved in the 70s, you know, and I was in high school at that time, and just everything that was going on, I says, man, why didn't you tell me? You know, what's up with that? Just ain't right, is it? They had the antidote, and they didn't want to share it for the cancer of sin that was in my life. See, we need to see ourselves as a people that have the answer to life's problems. God has put inside of that. Now, not everybody's going to be ready to receive at the same time, but we still need to be ready. All we have to do is share. Now, I know in my life, I know some friends that if they died, they would go to hell. I know that. Why do you know that? Because I know what the Bible says. If God says there's a heaven, and God also says there's a hell and the devil, and those who do not accept the free gift of life of Jesus Christ are destined for this other place. Now, that changes everything. It changes the paradigm of every way that we need to look at things. Now, I do know this. We've got to be in it for the long haul. And I do know that there's something we can do to try to fix it. And there's things we're going to go over here in a minute. So if we could share the next scripture. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Now, this is an interesting story that you say, why did you pick this one? We're going to talk about oikos now. What is oikos? Now, some of you are saying, it's yogurt. No, it's not yogurt. And the scripture that we're going to look at is Mark chapter 5, verse 19. It says, and he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them the great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. You know who he's talking about here? A man who was possessed by many demons. A little bit about that story. This man had so many demons in him. When the demons came out, they said, we are legion. Meaning multiple demons in his life. As a matter of fact, a little bit about him. He was so possessed by demons that they used to chain him up to tie him down because he would be so crazy. They were driving him mad. But at the end, then even he could break the chains. He was so messed up. Just totally life destroyed. Everybody giving up on him. What happened? Jesus came upon him and he cast the demons out of him. And the weird story is the fact that the demons, see, they like to stay in a region. Without going into too much about demonology today, demons like to stay in an area because that's where they've been called to rule and reign by their leader, Satan. So when Jesus cast them out, they wanted to stay in that area, so they wanted to go in the pigs. Now, the pigs evidently didn't like them that good because they ran off and killed themselves, right? It says. I wonder if that's why bacon is so sinfully delicious. I don't know. I was thinking about that a little bit. But so after he cast them out, the man, like you and I would have, if somebody ever done that for you, was that he wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to become one of Jesus' disciples. And I know what Jesus, what he did for my life and how he changed me, that I would go anywhere Jesus told me to go. I would have followed him anywhere because my life change was so dramatic that there was nothing I wouldn't do for him. But what's kind of amazing is that Jesus didn't let him become one of the followers. Now, I don't know about you. It's all about advertising, isn't it? Now, if Jesus would have had this guy travel with him, whenever they came to a new city, they would say, "Wow, that's that guy that had many demons. Chains couldn't hold him. And now, he's a follower of Jesus. Let's go hear what Jesus has to say." Jesus didn't need that kind of advertising, did he? Jesus told him, "Go home to your people and tell them what God has done in your life." And that's where we're coming into this idea of oikos, because Jesus didn't make him a better person. And that's what we have to remember. People who never went out into the world and dabbled in a lot of what we call big time sin, you know, they sometimes when they come to Christ, they think, "Well, he's going to make me a better person." No, Jesus always has to make us a new person, because the old person isn't good enough to live with him. So he makes us a new person, the new life of Christ. So when Jesus says, "Go home to your people," the word "home" there in the Greek is oikos. Oikos. And what oikos is talking about is an extended household of people that you know personally. So instead of having this man become a follower of Christ, he said, "Go to your own people that you know, and I want you to tell them what God has done in your life." You see where I'm going with this? Statistics say that each and every person here today has from 8 to 15 people in their life that they share life with. At least that many. 8 to 15 people that you call friend, that you call family, and up there on the screen, either they're friends, neighbors, relatives, other, work, or school. You all have at least 8 to 15 people that's on your front burner of your life that you can probably think of right now. Some of them may be Christians, some may not be Christians. But Jesus is calling us to reach our oikos. He's calling us to reach out to those around us, and there's different ways that we can do it. We're going to cover some of these things. And as we do that, it's because these close people is the ones that you and I have the greatest influence with. And really, it's all about influence. You know, they'll do stuff for you that they may not do for anybody else. And that's part of having that relationship, that close relationship that we have with each other. Now, there's another interesting statistic that I ran across. 95%, now that's a lot, 95% of the people that come to Jesus Christ have done so because of their oikos. Meaning one of their friends, one of the people they have relationship with, has invited them to either accept Jesus Christ or brought them to church, where then they gave their life to Christ. So 95% of the people is because of another relationship. So think about that. So if that many people come to Christ, how much more do you and I need to have some sort of a plan that we can reach our friends and families and relatives for Jesus? Can I get a witness? Amen? That's how important it is. Now, we have some empty chairs here today. I want you to pick out a chair, and I want you to fill it. I want you to think of somebody you can put in that chair, somebody that you want to reach for Jesus Christ. So how do we reach that? Well, we're going to pass out a paper here in a little bit that I made up, nothing real fancy, but you're going to take that home with you. You're going to put it in your Bible. Hopefully you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, put it in a place where you can refer to it from now and then. And I want you to make a list of people, 8 to 15 people. There's 15 spaces on it. And you're going to write down a name of somebody that you know that you would like to see come to Christ. And because what happens is that when you and I don't have a plan, we don't really succeed at anything. So this is a plan. This is a plan to maybe fill one of these chairs. This is a plan to see somebody that has sin in their life, and we're going to try to see their life changed. So you make this list, and then you're going to pray for them regularly. Maybe daily, maybe ever, at least a few times a week. I don't want to put any pressure on you. You know, because the first time you mess, I messed up, I ain't going to do it no more now. No. Just keep praying for them. Just pray that God opens their heart. Then look for opportunities. You know, you can invest in their life. How do you do that? Take them out for ice cream. Say, do you want to go to fishing? Do you want to do something together? Do something as a friend and start to you know, enhance that friendship. Starting to do things together. Share life together. Then, when the timing's right, ask them if they want to know Jesus, or ask them if they want to come to church with you. Come to church. Let's see what God's done in my life. And see, what you need to do is get some sort of little testimony together. You don't have to preach a whole message. Just say what Jesus did in your life. Like my testimony, right when I first came to Jesus, what amazed me is just how when he came in that he gave me peace in my life. I'd been looking for peace in all the wrong places. I know there's a song like that, looking for love, but I was looking for peace in all the wrong places. And I had to buy peace. And it only lasts for a few hours. But when I met Jesus Christ, for some reason, that peace always stayed with me. The peace of God. I'm not saying I don't have attacks from now and then, but what I'm saying is the fact that it is a totally life-changing experience. So you just prepare a little testimony and then invite him to church. We have special events. We may be doing a dinner. We might be doing something. So invite him to come and share life with you at church. You know, get them stretched out. Tell them how to raise their hands or clap, right? No, you don't have to do that. But if we really care about them, wouldn't you want to see them for all eternity? I know we do. But what the problem is we don't have a plan. Nobody wants any of their friends or family to go to hell, right? None of us is that cruel. I'll be honest, I don't even want my enemies to go to hell. I'd like to see them come to Christ. But I need a plan. And so that's why if we take the time to put down 8 to 15 people on a piece of paper and commit to pray for them regularly, I believe we might be able to see a change in our life, because there's a power that's in prayer, and you pray that God will open their eyes to see the truth. You pray that the Holy Spirit, see, we're not trying to convince them, we're just sharing what we know and let God do his job. And when God does his job, then things are going to happen. See, sin is the disease, right? And we have the cure. Can I get a witness? Amen. I want us to see that we are witnesses for Christ. We don't have to be an evangelist, but as we share the truth and love of God's word, we're going to see people's lives change. Let's pray.